Fearscape Media Network, exploring the unknown, one podcast at a time.
Hi, friends. This is Kelly with Wishful Drinking and Binge Thinking, the podcast where I get just absolutely hammered and I dole out psychological advice. That's right, I am going to be more drunk than that girl you met in the bar bathroom after your karaoke set who said, "You have such good stage presence, oh my god." That's right, zero preparation, multiple drinks, countless profound gems. Tune in the last Monday of every month on Fearscape Media Network.
Welcome, everyone, to Unsensitive, a show where we take a subject, talk with an expert, and break down with questions that are normally too impolite to ask. I am your host, Ray Robinson. And as an older white man, there are many things that I take for granted that are obstacles to people of color and women. There are many obvious ones that stand out and get a lot of attention, but there are also subtle advantages that are afforded to me. Things that, unless they're brought to light, can easily be ignored and thus preventing true equality to take foothold. So joining me today to expand on one of those topics, specifically diversity in professional communications, is marketing professional Destiny Washington. Destiny, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
I am too, because quite honestly, like I said, this is not something that ever would have occurred to me. There's no reason why it would occur to me because I'm an old white guy and everything's been kind of afforded those privileges to me. So is that the reason why maybe this issue isn't talked about enough?
Yes, honestly, you know, corporate America, it's been composed of white men. And so, you know, people that look like me, young black women, have been swept under the rug. So unfortunately, you know, it is an issue that's not talked about enough, but now I do feel like there's a time more than ever to get enough exposure on this issue.
I'd like to go ahead and kind of let you launch into maybe some of your own personal experiences. You're the one that brought this topic to me, which I thought was wonderful. So I know you've probably got your own stories to tell as well.
Yeah, so I currently attend Johnson & Wales here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Yeah, I'm down south, and a few of my experiences starting out in sports, I major in sports marketing. I got an opportunity with ESPN to work the X Games, and that if you know anything about the X Games, it's, you know, BMX riding and, you know, skateboarding, things of that nature. And I was pretty surprised that in terms of the leadership team, I mean, there are a lot of managers across a lot of departments, and there was only one man of color. And in terms of students, I would say that there was close to 90, and probably 20 of us were of color, maybe even a little bit less than that. So being in that space, it was definitely uncomfortable in more ways than one, because that was my first time ever, you know, being around BMX riding and skateboarding and things like that. But that lack of diversity, it really made me feel like there might not have been a place for me in sports. And so my second experience was with the Charlotte Knights. It's a minor league baseball team out here. And it was basically the same thing. I mean, across several departments, marketing, operations, promotions, you know, so on and so forth. I mean, probably 7 or 8 departments and less than 10 people of color. I mean, since we're a minor league team, you know, it's a little bit smaller. And again, just that lack of representation made me feel like, you know, there wasn't a place for me in sports. So ultimately, I really felt like I needed to maybe change my career path. I needed to go somewhere else. But it's very discouraging when you don't see yourself in these spaces. And that's essentially what white people have had for all these years. You know, you all get to see each other in everywhere. You could go anywhere and you could see yourself. And it's not the same for someone that looks like me. So I just kind of felt like I was wasting my parents' time. And it was a pretty rough time.
Now, I'm guessing that you're still relatively young yourself. Me, I'm about 50, so I don't have any idea what other what other people are in age because everybody's so young to me. But I'm guessing mid 20s.
Fair to guess? Yes.
Okay. So, is there something that people your age, whether they're people of color or people that are Caucasian, what are some of the things that they can do at that age and maybe at the lower levels of the tiers of the communication structure? What can they do to improve and maybe bring more inclusivity to this realm?
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing is speaking up. I would say that now it's our time more than ever, you know, with older people. I think that, I mean, and this is just my opinion, there are some people that are open to changing and then there are others that are just stuck in their ways. But I feel like for us, regardless, if we want to see change, you have to speak up. You have to be able to correct people. You know, I brought this issue to the attention of my professors and, you know, higher people within my collegiate university because it's something that needs to change. It really affects us. So I would just say to young people to not essentially get discouraged, but be willing to correct people, whether that's your manager, you know, whether that's, you know, your professors, you know, anybody that you see that really is like blind to this issue, you need to speak up.
Can you think of anything in particular that maybe some of the companies either that you've worked with in the past or companies that you're looking at working for in the future, what are some of the things that they can do to increase the diversity and their inclusion initiatives to bring more folks like yourself on board?
Yeah, I feel like it's really all about being genuine. There was definitely an increase with the George Floyd situation happening, you know, a lot of companies just pushing for diversity and inclusion. And then it was just I was able to see through it. You know, it's just like, you know, you've been around for years and now you suddenly want to pursue this. But I would say that if you are pursuing it, that you need to be genuine. It's not essentially just about hiring Black people. It's about making the pool even. So if you're going to like college fairs at a predominantly white university and you pick up the emails of 10 kids there, you need to go to a historically Black college or a predominantly Black college and do the same thing. You know, it's just all about giving people a chance. Nobody is saying that we want a handout. We just want a chance.
What do you find to be some of the societal setbacks and the mental effects that this issue can have on young people and people of color?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, just being a Black woman and seeing all that I see in the news in terms of my community is definitely traumatizing to an extent. But more so, like I had mentioned, you know, my experience with ESPN and the Charlotte Knights, I was very discouraged and I really felt like I was doing something wrong. You know, my colors isn't something that I could change and I didn't know which way to go. So I essentially feel like, you know, people definitely get down on themselves and, you know, it could be depressing, especially when you're not finding a job. You know, that's the goal of us in college. We want to transition into employment and, you know, you don't want to feel like you're wasting your parents' time or money or, you know, whoever's paying your way through college. So, and in terms of society, I feel like it's just a setback overall. I mean, having young people in your organization is more of an asset than a liability. We promote longevity in companies. You know, I don't feel as though a company should still be holding on to 50, 60 year olds that really aren't up to date and just aren't current with our times. I mean, I'm not saying that they don't add value, but you're going to have me for 20, 30 years if you treat me right and I have the right benefits and you're able to let me grow as an employee. So I just feel like a lot of companies are missing out in terms of getting great people that want to work.
I want to delve a little bit more maybe into going even further back. And some of this might actually be a little bit personal. As a matter of fact, let's kind of go a little bit more personal as well. What got you interested in being in the communications realm to begin with, especially since I imagine from where you were looking in, from the outside looking in, you weren't seeing very many people of color, very many young women in those roles. What made you say, you know, I want to pursue that?
Yeah, I'm from Washington, D.C. You know, I'm born and raised and I'm very proud to be from D.C., but there are a lot of issues that go on back home. The biggest is gun violence and poverty. And growing up in those areas, I went to a lower income school. And I just noticed kind of how many people went down the wrong route, as you may say. You know, some people are no longer here. You know, they got involved in whatever, you know, those bad activities. And I could only imagine if they had something in their life, if they had more programs and clubs or something in their life to lead them in the right direction, would they have gone down that path? And just kind of getting older, I noticed the same thing in terms of college, not essentially, you know, being in a rough area or anything, but at Johnson & Wales, over half of the students, close to 52 to 53% are Black. And all of us come from different backgrounds. And a lot of people are just coming from areas where they're not predisposed to a lot of professional topics like networking, resume building. All this stuff is new. And when you're learning it for the first time, it's very foreign. And I noticed a lot of my peers struggling to understand that. And so that's what really made me kind of say it like, aha, like this is what needs to change. You know, it's more so the communications, and people need somebody that they could relate to, or platforms at least that they could relate to, or at least have these platforms tailored in a way that they could understand, so that we can understand these topics just like everybody else, because we deserve a chance. So I just feel like, you know, college, you know, I just feel like a lot of professional communications in general aren't tailored to young people of color.
Has there been any moments that you've spoken up, and what kind of impact have they had in terms of somebody either making a change, or even maybe conversely, somebody saying, "Yeah, you're completely wrong on that, and we're not going to make any kind of change just because you said something." What are some of your own experiences in that realm?
Yeah, so this year, one issue that I had noticed, a good friend of mine, and he has a very great resume, worked with a lot of great companies. And I mean, he essentially did everything in terms of the professional development. He was going to the workshops, he was going to the networking events, he was taking advantage of everything that our professors had put in front of him. And I had learned that he was working at a department store. And in my very, you know, honest opinion, that's not a role that he should have, especially with his resume. And so I had said something to my professors, not only because I felt like, you know, this is not right, but because me and another one of my partners, we serve as kind of those model students that do everything that we're told in terms of the professional development. And I didn't want that, you know, I don't want me to be in that same position. So I had said something about it. And, you know, the conversation at first, it was definitely a little bit rough because, you know, it was taken personal. Well, you know, I'm a great professor. I'm here to help you. What haven't I done? And it wasn't essentially an attack on my professor, of course, but we eventually came around to an understanding that a big issue, and we started taking data from a lot of seniors that graduated from as early as 2013, and asking these seniors just basic questions. Are you in your desired field? Are you in a field adjacent to, you know, what you study, things of that nature? And we're learning that a lot of students of color, first women of color, are not in the profession that they desired. They're not in jobs that they got a degree in. And second to that, Black men. My professors are really working on changing in the curriculum in terms of offering more employment to students. So having them get real world experience, actually having real world projects instead of just focusing on learning, because that's what I felt like the content was focused on. We're just learning, we're not getting experience. What's the point of us going to class every day if we don't have an opportunity to implement anything that we've learned? So now they're following up with a lot of those graduates, trying to connect the dots and, you know, essentially doing what they can in order to, you know, bridge that gap between students of color and employment.
How do you feel that some personal communications can be developed by companies, by managers, to make sure that they are more inclusive of people of color, as well as younger women?
Right. I feel as though the first thing is kind of just, it's a marketing thing. So you need to sit down with your marketing team and you need to look at all the materials that you put out thus far. It's just the little things like, why is all the pictures of your website? Like, why does it only have white people on there? You know, if you want to be diverse and inclusive, you need to show us that you're including everybody. So I just think taking little, you know, nicks and paying attention to little things like that, you may think that it doesn't matter, but it really does, because we scroll past websites like that. Like, you're not for me, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's a first step, but also looking at your leadership teams. I mean, it's the little things. Like, why are all your managers are white? You mean to tell me that you haven't came across a qualified Black candidate in your company that's been around for how many years? You know, it's little things like that. So let's work on promoting growth. Let's work on, you know, rearranging our communications. Like, it takes honesty, and that's not a lot of something that a lot of people, you know, like to take. You know, it's hard to kind of sit back and realize that, you know, you've been stuck on your ways for a while. But I do think that once you kind of get over that, then that's when you'll start to see the pushes for diversity and inclusion. But it really starts inside. Like, you need to check people on your team. You need to check your managers. You need to really, like, it's just complete honesty.
If you had any advice for somebody that does step up like you have in the past and they get rebuffed, is it something that they should continue to push for while they're there? Should they kind of just look for a different place that's a little bit more open? What would you be your thoughts in that regard?
Yeah, the first thing I would say is don't give up. You know, it's plenty of no's that are going to come, plenty of people that aren't going to understand, and that's fine. But I do think that giving up just kind of, you know, decimates the issue. It's not going to get solved if you just walk away from it. So I feel like, you know, if you're going to someone about an issue, they're not listening, go to somebody higher up. That's when people tend to listen. So I just really feel like, you know, standing your ground, standing, you know, for yourself, it's the best thing that you could ever do. And don't be discouraged when people may, you know, laugh at you or call you silly or whatever the case is, because everybody knows that this, I mean, I'm not going to say everybody knows that this is an issue, but I don't think that people are as naive to it as, you know, as it may seem. I think that, you know, once you look at these leadership teams and these companies and things like that, you should be able to see that you're not as diverse and inclusive as you say you are. So I just, you know, I feel like standing your ground is the best thing that you could do.
Yeah, and I imagine there's a lot of folks that they think they're pretty inclusive until they actually sit down and talk with somebody that is directly impacted, and they realize that is not the case necessarily. So the fact that you bring it to their attention is just only like the first step that's needed to start moving that big boulder. That makes perfect sense to me. Well, Destiny, I tell you, it's been really enlightening as far as this kind of thing that somebody like myself may not know from the outside looking in. Now, I understand you have your own podcast, which is why you're so well spoken here. So tell us a little bit more about your podcast and where people can find out more about it and learn more from you.
Yeah, so basically what we talked about today, I wanted to create a space for young professionals that really want to learn not only entities of professional development, but one thing I do feel as though is that, you know, you could do the outer work, but if you're not aligned on the inside, none of those external blessings will really come as much as you may want them to. So my platform is really designated to professional development and personal development, hearing from people that look just like you that you could relate to. My podcast is available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Politicking with Destiny, PoliticKin, you know, the slang way with Destiny, DesTiny.
The slang way, but you added the K, which a lot of people forget. So that's great.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you so much, Destiny, for giving us a little bit of touch of what you do on your podcast, enlightening folks like myself about a topic that just doesn't get enough attention. So thank you so much for coming on the show and telling us more about it.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed the conversation, and what you're doing with your podcast is honestly great. You know, it's something that's very creative and unique. So I know that you'll go very far with this.
Oh, thank you so much. And now, speaking of my podcast, a challenge to my listeners out there. If you also have a subject like Destiny here that you're passionate about, you could speak with some authority on, and you're not afraid to tackle some tough questions that may come your way, then I want to talk with you here on Unsensitive. So reach out through the Fearscape Media Network with your topic, or write me directly at rayrobwrites@gmail.com, and maybe I'll be speaking with you next. A special thanks to Ben Sounds for the use of Happy Rock, and of course the fine folks at Fearscape for giving me a platform to work with. Thank you again for listening to Unsensitive. We'll talk again soon, and until then, keep that mind open.